Though his fate is unknown, Saddam Hussein's son, Uday, officially remains the president of the Iraqi National Olympic Committee. And that committee still is a member in good standing of the International Olympic Committee, despite allegations that Iraq's National Olympic Committee regularly tortured athletes. Christine Brennan is a columnist for USA Today. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
Losing was costly in Iraq.
Yes, it certainly was, Bob. Over the past two decades, if Iraqi boxers, volleyball players, track stars, soccer players, you name it, if they lost or if they failed to please Uday Hussein, as you mentioned, the Iraqi Olympic Committee president, they could be thrown in jail. And by the way, there was a prison conveniently located, Bob, in the Olympic building. They could be tortured in various ways, thrown off a bridge, dragged along concrete on their bare backs, then through sand pits to infect the wounds. They could have their feet beaten. So many different stories. These are allegations, Bob, made by athletes, published widely now in ESPN.com, Sports Illustrated, among other places. They're also widely known. They've been known for months, even years, within the international sports community. And one of the reasons why Iraq had 46 athletes at the 1980 Olympics, had only 4 athletes at the 2000 Olympics. Why would you want to be an athlete on an Olympic team if you're an Iraqi citizen?
So why does the International Olympic Committee still recognize the Iraqi National Olympic Committee?
Bob, these are officially allegations. And, of course, with allegations, you need to check them out. That's what the IOC now is doing. The International Olympic Committee has formed a commission, the ethics commission that it has, and it's given these allegations to the commission. One would have thought they might have moved a little faster. They had a human rights group that filed a formal complaint in December, so it's been about 5 months. And next month, just in a few weeks, there will be an IOC executive board meeting, Bob, where this commission will report.
They've trashed athletes for taking cold medication.
Yeah, it's odd, isn't it? You know, here you've got the Ben Johnson story that Tom Goldman just told. A gymnast can have her gold medal stripped in a matter of 48 hours for taking a stimulant found in cold medicine. And yet here's something that's been talked about for at least a decade, maybe more. And other organizations have looked into it, the Soccer Federation, and nothing has been done. It is stunning, and I think that's why the IOC is coming under much criticism right now for its lack of attention to this issue.
Now, there seems to be slow, and then there's the International Olympic Committee.
That's true. Although there is hope here, Bob. The U.S. Olympic Committee has come to the fore here the last few days and announced that it would like to help Iraq's athletes, its Olympic athletes, the elite athletes, wherever they may be, to try to train for the 2004 Athens Olympics. And one possibility is to bring the athletes to one of the 3 U.S. Olympic training centers. If that's the case, it may get them ready for the 2004 Athens Olympic Games. Can you imagine the reaction by the crowd in Athens, Greece, if a small team of athletes from the new Iraq walks in under the Iraqi flag and is able to participate in the Olympics, at least in part because of the help of the U.S. Olympic Committee?
Yeah, it would be a nice moment. We could send some coaches over there.
Well, you know, there's another part of it, too, is that you've got the young athletes, grassroots athletes, and one of the other things the U.S. Olympic Committee would like to do is get soccer balls over there so soldiers who are stationed in Iraq can play with the kids, or wrestling mats, other things like that. So it's a two-pronged attack, Bob, by the U.S. Olympic Committee to help the grassroots kids and then also to get the elite athletes potentially out of Iraq and training again for the Olympic Games.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
Christine Brennan is a columnist for USA Today.